Am I on here? Can you hear me in the back? Okay. Pleasure to be here. I'm not used to a small room like this. I'm used to about a room of four times with about 10 times the amount of people. This is the blood draw search warrant class, and let's get to it.
It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in your house, and it's ringing.
Something's happening in town, and you will decide. How to answer that call. Whether to deny a search warrant, or draw blood. It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep.
How are you going to answer that call?
Okay, understanding the magistrate's decision in the context of blood search warrants. The first thing, before we get into the heart of the class, is I'm going to pass this list around. It's got to be signed, and anybody who fails to sign, we'll be taking a blood sample from you today. Okay, these blood search warrants have become the new tool for law enforcement. Back in 2002, there was a case decided called Beeman, and you might want to write this down if you haven't seen it before. It's 86 Southwest 3rd, 613. That's 86 Southwest 3rd, 613. It's decided in 2002, but we haven't seen many of these blood search warrants. They kind of started cropping up about a year and a half or 2 years ago. How many judges here have done a blood search warrant so far? Okay. How many have never heard or anybody been approached at all about blood search warrants? Okay, a couple of those too. Well, they're becoming the tool du jour because, like the Hope Diamond in Africa, someone stubbed their toe over this case about 2 years ago, and in Beeman, the court said, well, you can go get an evidentiary search warrant to draw blood in a DWI case, and it's been off to the races since then. Why do I say that? Well, if you Google blood search warrants Texas, you'll get several hundred hits. And it's not just something that's being used in the large cities. Of course, in Dallas, I've got a copy here of a March 15th, 2010 article from the Dallas Morning News. Dallas police want to join a growing national trend by making all suspected drunken drivers take a blood test. And they, of course, they go on to talk about the prices of doing that. Okay, there's your larger counties. Anybody here from Bandera County? Bandera County, I think, would probably consider to be not a metropolitan area. But in February of this year, the Bandera County Sheriff's Department, they have a new jail. There's a nurse in the jail. They don't have a county hospital. But every DWI now in Bandera County, they get a blood search warrant. They take them to jail, they get the warrant, and there's a refusal, and off they go. So it's a tool that's becoming used by law enforcement. If you've had occasion to look in on what the legislature is priming up for at the next session, I know we all look forward to that, but they're already talking about blood search warrants again and expanding those and making them more available to law enforcement. So it's going to be important to know the following things. One is, when is a blood search warrant needed? Second, who can sign a blood search warrant? Third, how to evaluate a blood search warrant affidavit? And then how to identify the related blood search warrant documents? Because they're going to be a little different than some of the other warrants that you may be used to seeing. Okay, a search warrant. A search warrant is a written order issued by a magistrate commanding a peace officer to search for or seize any property or thing and bring those items back to the magistrate. A sworn affidavit establishing probable cause shall be filed for every search warrant. And in case we've forgotten what the probable cause is, there's a very good definition of course, it's all over a case law, but if you take a look at a decision, well, this is going to be Illinois v. Gates, which is 462 U.S. 213. The probable cause for a search warrant exists if, under the totality of the circumstances presented to the magistrate, there is at least a fair probability or substantial chance that contraband or evidence of a crime will be found at the specified location. And the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals has used that definition on many occasions. Now, when we're talking about blood search warrants, it's just as important to know when they're not needed. Why? That 3 o'clock in the morning, morning call is going to come from some member of law enforcement. Judge, this is Officer Friendly. We've got the situation. I want to come over and see if I can get a blood search warrant. Well, it's going to be helpful to know when they don't need to come and see you, because there's a lot of circumstances when they don't have to go get a search warrant. They're allowed to go get them without it. Well, first of all, if there's consent, certainly don't need to go get a search warrant if the person consents to the request for blood. And as many of you who are familiar with DWI knows, they know they get that the statutory warning, and a lot of them do consent. Certainly no need to get a search warrant for blood if the person has consented. Second, mandatory draws. Those are draws for blood that the law says the officer can get without having to go get a search warrant. We're going to go into those in depth. There's 5 general categories where they don't need them. Medical draws, persons at the hospital, the suspect may be in an accident. Medical personnel are going to draw the blood, and sometimes the police may come later on for a subpoena for those records. Anybody ever get one of those? Subpoena for blood records or medical information? They're pretty prominent when the medical personnel have taken it. They'll go get it for the DA's office to use in a case later. And, of course, ages and circumstances, which we're going to talk about in more detail. If the officer believes that the evidence is going to vanish before they can get a search warrant, they can just go ahead and have the blood drawn. Now, it's their job to explain the exigent circumstances to the trial court, but that's always been available since the Schmerber case, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. That's a 1966 case. Let's go over them in detail. Consent. Suspect voluntarily gives a blood sample. We have a happy person drawing the blood. Everybody's happy because the person says yes. Absolutely no need for anybody to call the magistrate and say, I need a blood search warrant. So one of the first things you're going to hear from the officer if you start querying them about the situation is they refuse to give a sample. Now, consent. There's 2 kinds of consent. There's actual consent where the person says, yes, I'll do it. And also, there's going to be the implied consent statute. Now, I'm not making this up. In section 724.014 of the Transportation Code, that's 724.014 of the Transportation Code, it says a person who is dead, unconscious, or otherwise incapable of refusal is considered not to have withdrawn consent. What does that mean? What does that mean to us? In section C of that statute, 724.014C, if the person is alive but incapable of refusal, a specimen may be taken by a person authorized by section 724, and it mentions some other statutes there. So, if a person is unconscious at the hospital and not capable of withdrawing consent, the police can get a sample taken right then and there under the implied consent statute. So, one of the things you may ask if the case arrives, if the officer friendly calls and say, Judge, got a person, accident, we took him to the hospital, unconscious, want to get a search, blood search warrant, your answer may very well be, you don't need to get a search warrant. If they're not withdrawing consent, they're unconscious, the law allows you to get the blood drawn without a search warrant. So your query may involve asking them about those kinds of issues. So what we might have there is the first category of inquiry is, are they refusing to give a sample? The next category is we're going to talk about is where a lot of the changes took place. These are the mandatory draws, places you don't need a search warrant. Okay, 2 of the old ones, death or belief of likely death. Number 2, serious bodily injury, and these are the new ones. Number 3, bodily injury and transport to a medical facility. Another new one, DWI with a child under 15 in the vehicle. And the last category is convictions. Any person with a prior conviction for DWI with a child passenger or intoxication assault or manslaughter, that's a new one, no warrant, is necessary to take a blood sample. Last category, well, a subcategory of our 5th area of inquiry here is 2 prior convictions for DWI, driving while intoxicated, flying while intoxicated, boating while intoxicated, or the ever popular assembling or operating an amusement ride while intoxicated. If the person has 2 or more convictions, the officer does not need to come see you for a blood search warrant. So as part of your inquiry, Judge, Officer Friendly, got a guy girl, whoever, suspect. We arrested them for DWI. They refused to give a sample. If you've got one of these categories here, of course, death or belief of death, serious bodily injury, the new ones are, was anybody taken to the hospital officer-friendly? Yeah, it was a minor accident. We took somebody else to the hospital. Hey, you don't need to come and get a warrant from me. Law says you can go have the people, the hospital take it right away. Officer, was there anybody else in the vehicle? Yeah, we had a kid in the vehicle. How old? 14. You don't need to come and see me for a search warrant. Any priors? Yeah, Judge, we got this person has two prior DWIs. How do you know that? Well, we checked on NCIC or TLIX, so we have some information that they have. They don't need to come see you to get a warrant. And, of course, the value of the evidence to the prosecutor is always going to be more valuable the closer you get to the time of arrest and obtaining the blood sample. So time is always an important factor here. And for those of you who are in counties where you may be kind of remote from the law enforcement authority, it's going to be very helpful you to pick one of these categories out and say, hey, you don't need to come and see me for a blood search warrant. The law allows you to draw it. So, five categories. Death or belief of likely death. Serious bodily injury. Bodily injury and transportation to a medical facility. Child under 15. Prior convictions. Under those circumstances, the law enforcement is not required to come see you for a search warrant. You're well within your rights to say, officer, you don't need a warrant from me. The law allows it. You can go ahead and draw it. Okay. Exigent circumstances. One of the categories we talked about before. What are they? Well, under Schmerber, the delay necessary to obtain a warrant under the circumstances threatened the destruction of the evidence. And what is it? What are exigent circumstances? Well, if the evidence is the little mouse, then these are exigent circumstances. There's a high degree of likelihood that the evidence may quickly vanish. When might that also come up? Well, certainly if the officer calls you, there's judge. There's no other judge in the county. I'm calling you on your cell phone. We need a blood search warrant done. It doesn't fit into our other categories for the mandatory draw, but you're 6 hours away. Now, the officer's got to make a decision. Maybe 2 hours have already elapsed since the arrest. You're not going to be available for another 6 hours. The officer certainly under the exigent circumstances section under Schmerber can say, well, I felt there was an important factor here, time. The evidence was dissipating. I elected to go have the blood search warrant, have the blood drawn. I didn't go get a search warrant. But that's the officer now has to explain that to a trial court. So if you get us in a set of circumstances like that, you may tell the officer, look, I'm 6 hours away. That's the soonest I can be there. That's going to mean it's 8 or 9 hours since you've arrested him. You know, if you feel the circumstances are exigent and you can get the hospital to take the blood, you can go ahead and do that under Schmerber. And that's perfectly allowable. Been upheld in several cases since Schmerber was decided. We talked briefly about, so when is a blood search warrant necessary? Well, it's always necessary, except when there's consent, our five mandatory categories, when it's medically necessary, or when there's exigent circumstances under Schmerber. So if you get that 3 a.m. call, and if you're inquisitive and, you're armed with the knowledge that we've handed out here, there's a pretty good chance you may be able to tell the officer, hey, don't need to come by. Law allows you to go to have the blood taken. Okay, we've talked a little about when we need them, who can sign them. Here's the next category. If we've got a subject that refuses to give a sample, they're charged with driving while intoxicated, boating while intoxicated, with any of the charges for DWI. Any licensed attorney, magistrate in the state can sign. Now, this is a change, because it used to be you had to be in a court of record. So if you're an attorney magistrate, doesn't matter if you're in a court of record or not, this particular kind of evidentiary search warrant, the blood search warrant, you can do. Now, for those of you who are not may not be licensed attorneys, in counties with no Texas licensed attorney in a municipal court of record or county court or a statutory county court judge, any magistrate. So if you're a non-attorney judge in a county and there's no other licensed attorney judge in any of these courts, this is the only kind of type of evidentiary search warrant you can do, but you can do them. We have anybody like that here? Non-attorney judges in a... Okay. Don't have any of those here today. So any magistrate, if the only attorney judges in a county are district judges, then any magistrate may issue an evidentiary search warrant, including the blood search warrant under 18.01I, and that's in the Code of Criminal Procedure. We don't have any of those here today. Really not apropos. So what about subsequent search warrants under 18.0210? A subsequent search warrant is a warrant that goes to seek the same item from the same place at approximately the same time. Subsequent search warrants, how might that come about? Now, this is an actual matter that arose in Tarrant County that I'm familiar with. The police went and got a search warrant. They drew the blood. As the officer's taking the blood to go have it, take it to the drop box, take it to the hospital, they drop the vials. The evidence is gone. I call the judge up again. Judge, we need to go back and take the blood again. What do we do? Well, that's a subsequent search warrant. The warrant has been executed. The evidence has been obtained. It's now been destroyed. If someone comes back under those circumstances asking you for another search warrant, the rule is subsequent search warrants can only be signed by these people: a district judge, court of appeals judge, court of criminal appeals judge, or Supreme Court justice, which that you're out of the action. Is that likely to happen? Probably not. But it certainly happened in this one circumstance, and you ought to be armed with the knowledge that subsequent search warrants, the rules are a little different. Subsequent search warrants are found in Section 18.01D of the Code of Criminal Procedure. That's 18.01D. And that talks about evidentiary search warrants under 18.0210, which are search warrants for mere evidence. There's also going to be some information in a case called Ibarra. The Ibarra case is found at 11 Southwest 3rd, 189. 11 Southwest 3rd, 189. This is one of the few cases that discusses subsequent search warrants. If you're interested in taking a look at that, there's some interesting reading there. Okay, we've talked about when you need them and who can sign them. What about evaluating the affidavit? Well, of course, we have to have probable cause that a specific offense has been committed. The items are evidence, and there's a location of the items that we want to search for. And then we issue what's called an 18.0210 blood search warrant, which is an evidentiary search warrant. And probable cause exists when the facts and circumstances present would convince a reasonably prudent person that there is reasonable suspicion to that a crime has occurred. So let's, for example, assume a legal stop and search. All the elements of a DWI are present. Is there probable cause to arrest and issue a blood search warrant home for trial? Yes. Remember this. If there's probable cause for the DWI, there's almost certainly going to be probable cause for a blood search warrant. How many people here have done a probable cause for a DWI? I mean, we all know what they say. Almost the same set of facts. They get pulled over for fill in the blank, some traffic offense, or maybe there's an accident. Slurred speech, we all know what they say, okay? Person doesn't do or fails the standard field sobriety test. Okay, there's probable cause to arrest for a DWI. Now, take those same facts. Do those same facts justify the likelihood that the blood is going to be in the person and it's evidence? So, well, of course. So it's very unlikely that you're going to have a situation where you have probable cause for the DWI and you don't have probable cause for a blood search warrant. It's not likely to happen. We have an example in the handout. There's an affidavit for an arrest, for warrant for arrest and detention. And in that handout, it says, well, the suspect was speeding 43 and 30, got pulled over, observations, strong odor of alcohol, slurred and confused speech, swaying, uncooperative, lying about things, staggering. You'll find in there that they refused the standard field sobriety tests, took four blocks to stop. Suspect said he had 2 to 3 beers and had a half can of Budweiser in the car. Is that enough probable cause that a DWI occurred? I think we probably all agree, probably yes. Of course, if it's no, then that's the end of our inquiry. But if that's yes, then you proceed. Okay, what's the object of the search? Well, the object of the search is the evidence. The blood will constitute evidence of an offense, namely the DWI. Where can we find it? Well, we can find it inside, in the person. So the blood search warrant is We want to find the evidence. The evidence is the blood, and we know where to go find it. It's in the person. So we want to be able to go to collect the blood to use at a later date for the prosecution. Now, under what set of circumstances might you have probable cause to arrest for a DWI but not be maybe reluctant to issue a blood search warrant? Well, what if the police come to you 12 hours later? Is it still likely that there's going to be evidence of alcohol in the blood 12 hours later? I mean, how much knowledge do we have as judges to try to figure out, is the evidence still there? Now, you guys have already been to Ryan's class on the update. Isn't that right? The case law update. I know Ryan went over a case in his materials. I think that's the Dugas case. And I believe that's on page 3 of the handout that Ryan gave you. In that case, the court decided, the appeals court says, 6 hours is not too much time. So if you're trying to figure out if it's 6 hours later after the arrest, hey, should I give one or I should not give one? I mean, assuming all the other elements are there. And this is now my opinion. I always think you're on safe ground if you can point to a statute or a case. I think that's, I'm like, most people would probably agree with that. So in this case that Ryan went over, which is the State v. Dugas, and like I said, it's on page 3 of Ryan's handout. In that case, the Court of Appeals said 6 hours is not out of bounds. So certainly within 6 hours, you could certainly say, hey, you know, within 6 hours, I know at least one court has said it's okay to go and draw blood. Now, 7, 8, 9, what kind of information might we want? Well, I'm going to provide you some information. This isn't in the materials. This is from the DWI Detection and Standard Field Sobriety Testing Manual. It's also in the instructor's manual. And these are the planning figures that the police use when they get instructed about the standard field sobriety tests. It says, on average, a person's blood alcohol concentration after reaching peak value will drop by about 0.015 per hour. That's the planning figure the police use. After it peaks, 0.015, that's when we think it's leaving, you know, it's leaving the body. Well, 0.08 is the threshold. Of course, depending on how intoxicated the person was or, you know, was at the start, of course, if they're 0.20, it's going to take many hours for the evidence to be gone. So how you might look that over is, you know, if the officer says there was a moderate, you know, presence of alcohol, or the breath was moderate, it was a moderate smell, or maybe they only had 4 or 2 clues on the standard field sobriety test, or perhaps they had clues on the standard field sobriety test but maybe passed one, well, your inclination might be, well, that person may not be very intoxicated, and maybe 12 or 13 hours later, we may be justified in saying, look, I just don't think you're going to find that evidence there. I'm not going to allow you to go get it because I don't think it's there anymore. So that's a set of circumstances that may come up where you might say no. So 6 hours, there's a case that says 6 hours, you're probably no problem. Anything after that, I think it's probably up, you know, it's up for grabs. But there are some other cases out there. There's some cases at 50, there's some other cases out there, but none of them are really definitive about the time except for this one case that Ryan's gone over with you. So it's just something to think about. You know, we really haven't gotten into drug DWIs. I mean, the same kind of rules apply. I mean, what knowledge do we have as magistrates about the effect of drugs, how long it stays in their system? If you get a situation where the police are seeking a blood draw and it's a drug-related DWI, there's no presence of alcohol, but they've got other factors, you know, is 10 hours okay after that? How long is cocaine or marijuana or some of these prescription drugs that may cause intoxication, how long are they going to stay in the system? And, of course, the best evidence for the police and the prosecutors in a DWI drug case is going to be what? Blood evidence. They're not going to have a breath test. Breath test is probably zero. So I think we're going to find these things coming up, just some issues to think about. So, once again, 6 hours is probably okay, and anything outside that is up to you. But, of course, the standard of review, great deference is given to the magistrate on these decisions about the facts. on the standard of appeal on these cases gives a lot of deference to your decision as a magistrate.
Would you like to see a DRE done in the affidavit?
The question up here is, would you like to see a DRE done, drug recognition expert test in a DWI case? Certainly that has to be one of the factors you might be looking for in a drug DWI case before you find probable cause to arrest or issue a warrant. And one of the questions you might ask is, well, okay, no alcohol. What makes you think there are drugs and this person is intoxicated by the introduction of a drug? Well, suspect might have told the police that, certainly one. They might have found prescription bottles in the car with the person's name on it, or a prescription bottle with somebody else's name on it. Might find illegal drugs in the car. All those things are going to be factors, I think, that we're going to consider in whether we should grant the warrant or not. Okay, so if there's probable cause that a specific offense has been committed, the item's blood is evidence, the location of the item is in the body, then we can issue the blood search warrant. Okay, what kind of documents are we looking for when we get a blood search warrant? Well, certainly the affidavit or the search warrant is going to be one of them. I mean, we've all seen those. The search warrant itself is going to be right there in front of you because the affidavit is going to be done, and then you're signing the search warrant. And some other documents that you might see that aren't really necessary, there might be a blood withdrawal procedure form. Sometimes the police will bring a checklist along with the packet, probably because they've been provided that by their instruction or supervisor. You might see that. That document's not really for your scrutiny. It's not, you don't have to pass any kind of court judgment on it. It just may be there. Just know that it's there, but it's not necessary for what you've got to do. An order for an assistance in execution of a search warrant. This is a document that may direct medical providers to assist the police. Of course, now there's a statute that says that blood draws that are taken at the behest of a warrant or for mandatory blood draws, the hospitals and medical providers are insulated from civil lawsuits. This is kind of a follow-on. I think the situations are remote, but there have been a couple cases where the medical personnel, we're not going to take one. We're not going to do it. Well, this order, in fact, may subject the person being told, you need to take this blood, to a contempt charge, and that's why they've got it. And in fact, some of the hospitals want it. They want to be told, the police came, they had a warrant, we were told we had to do it, and that's why we did it. Once again, now that document you may be asked to sign, and you might be a little cautious about what's written in there about who can take the blood. The statute is pretty specific about who can take it. It's found in the Transportation Code. Texas prohibits EMTs from taking blood. They usually have to be a doctor or a qualified person, phlebotomist. But you might review that, see what it says. And they'll ask you to sign the order directing that person to assist in taking the blood as a result of you issuing the warrant. And once again, I think that's a result of hospitals' caution. They don't want to get sued. They want to be able to fall back on the law requiring me to do it. You can't sue me. I don't think that situation has come up yet in Texas, but I'm sure the civil lawyers have had a lot to do with that. There may be also in there an affidavit of a person who is going to withdraw the blood. There may be a blank form in there that they've adhered to the checklist. They may identify them. Once again, not necessary for your inquiry, but be aware that the documents may be in there. And finally, there's probably going to be a return in inventory, which is standard for all evidentiary search warrants. Other considerations. The suspect should not be threatened with a warrant to gain consent. And that's going to be a problem. If an officer in the context of explaining to you about the warrant says, well, we asked them, Judge, and the person refused, and I told him we were going to get a warrant anyway, so that's why we're here. And if you hear that kind of language, that's the yellow warning light should go on. The police can't threaten the person we're going to get a warrant if you don't give us what we need. You hear those kinds of things, warning light should go on. Use of reasonable force is okay with a warrant. I mean, it's the law's pretty clear. If the police want to, strap them down and take the blood, and use force to assist, they can. We mentioned this, once again, it's not our purview, really, what happens after that, but just to kind of know what you're setting, and when you roll this snowball down the hill, this is what we're doing. I know there's a, yes. Well, the question is, do I think whether or not that'll be a problem in the suppression? You know, that's, I think there's going to be a problem later on. It's not our bailiwick. I mean, if the affidavit sets out the probable cause to go get the evidence, I think we could probably sign that. If that's been fulfilled, and somebody else, that's somebody else's problem. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't be concerned about it. We're all Americans. We all care about the way our system works. But I think from what I can, this is once again my opinion. If an officer says, I think, down the road and goes to court and says, yes, I told him we were going to get it no matter what, so I think they're going to have a problem. I mean, I'm certain of it. Okay. I know of a case up in Denton County, and if there's anybody here from the Metroplex area, you may be familiar with this one. I think, Phil, you may know about it. Denton County, they ask, we want a blood sample. Nope. They go get a warrant. They show up to get the blood sample. You're not putting that needle in me. Well, it's kung fu fighting, everybody fastest lining, and now the guy's charged with assault on a peace officer. So we went from DWI, first-time offense, to second-degree felony with a guy with no priors, as I understand it. So it's, once again, it's not really in our purview, but just to understand, when you sign these warrants, this is what you're setting down. I don't know anybody likes a needle. I've been involved in some of these no-refusal weekends where they bring the judge to the have a judge available to sign him. Anybody done that in here? There's no refusal stuff? From what I can tell, about out of every 10, 6 to 7 of them will go ahead and do it, and then the other 3 won't, and they'll get the warrant if they've got the reason. It's hard to argue with when you're sitting in the same building and they bring you all the stuff almost contemporaneous with the stop. Okay, medical personnel using accepted procedures can draw the blood. Texas prohibits EMTs. The feds do not. A refusal to assist may be a contempt of court deal. Now, this is on the rise. There's a case out of Dalworthy Gardens. Does anybody know where that is? It's in Tarrant County. Let me tell you what happened in Dalworthy Gardens, because I think it's coming to a theater near us soon. Dalworthy Gardens trained all the Dalworthy police are EMTs. They brought somebody in, a doctor, to train all the officers to be, quote-unquote, qualified to take the blood. They took the blood. Motion to suppress was filed in County Criminal Court Number 3 of Tarrant County. The judge there said, no, I don't like it. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not allowing the evidence in. 14th Court of Appeals or 2nd Court of Appeals in Fort Worth, shocked me. I thought for sure, well, I've never been able to guess anything the Courts of Appeals are going to do anyway. Says, we agree. Not for the same reasons as the judge found, but we agree. We don't like it. We're going to uphold the judge's decision and suppress the evidence. Well, the ink wasn't dry on that decision. It's a petition for discretionary review was granted. I checked it yesterday. The latest entry is July the 2nd, which is this month. A petition for discretionary review filed in Court of Criminal Appeals. It's been accepted. It's going to be briefed. A lot of police departments are waiting for this case, because if the Court of Criminal Appeals says no, it's okay for you to do that, to train police officers to take blood. I'm not sure about every police department, but you're going to see a move to have one-stop shopping. The police arrest them, they go get the warrant, and they draw the blood. Yes? You know what? Maybe. And that's a great question. Question was, aren't you opening yourself up to medical malpractice? This is very interesting, because now Judge Mills in County Court Number 3 basically was saying, look, the Section 724 of the Transportation Code controls who can draw blood under the consent statute. There's a list of people who can take it. Judge says these police aren't qualified. They're not listed in the statute to be drawing blood. They're not a qualified technician. That's a special definition. They've got to have a certification from the state of Texas. These officers don't have it. I don't like it. Out. Now, the Court of Appeals, when they look at this thing, said, you know what? We're not going to stamp our feet on that. We don't like it because we don't like the lack of questioning that the officer did prior to taking the blood. We don't think the screening was correct, which is, I think, part and parcel to what you've asked. Now, is that opening up a can of worms? I certainly think so. I'm sorry?
Who's going to get sued when the officer gets AIDS?
Well, once again, I'm not really sure. I'm not trying to belittle it, but I mean, my concern is you need to be thinking about these types of issues because it's coming. This case is important. It's going to be heard. It's going to be decided. And there's certainly the chance that it'll, well, I guess a 50% chance of either outcome. One is, no, the statute for the transportation code says who we want to be able to draw blood, and we're going to stick with that reasoning. The Court of Criminal Appeals, though, in this case in Fort Worth said, you know what, we don't really think 720, the transportation code, controls this decision. What are they going to? They're going to Schmerber. And Schmerber is a reasonableness test. So then the question is, on an evidentiary search warrant, which under Beeman is okay, is it reasonable now to train these officers to conduct this inquiry and draw the blood? So I'm not sure which way the court's going to go. I mean, they may go with Schmerber and may say reasonable or not, or they may say, you know what, the legislature's already kind of told us which way they want us to go when people are drawing blood, and we want these people to do it. You know, I don't have any insight to that. I've never had much insight into those kinds of issues. But you ought to keep an eye on that case. In that case, if you want to go look at it, very interesting. You can find it on the Second Court of Appeals website. It's cited. It's 02-08-00246-CR. I'll read it again. 02-08-00246-CR, State of Texas versus Christy Lynn Johnston, and Christy is C-H-R-I-S-T-I, Lynn Johnston. It's a 25 or so page opinion. It's interesting. It's upcoming. I think it's going to affect everybody in the room. DWI is getting another look at the legislative session. The police are interested in this case. One of the big impediments to more places taking blood search warrant is what? It's cost. I got to take them to the hospital and the logistics. In fact, the Dallas article, what we mentioned before, says, look, we're interested in taking in all of them. What's the problem? The whole thing holding us back is what? The cost. You can be sure if they can find a way to take them in, you know, inside the police station and not go outside, you're going to see a lot more of them. This case is going to drive that. So take a look at it. I think you'll find it interesting reading. Hold your finger up in the air and figure out which way the Court of Appeals is going to go. But it's got to be decided, and I think it's going to have a substantial effect on how much blood search warrant we're going to see in the future. Same guy. Arrest, fill the paperwork out, get the warrant, and come back and take the blood. Okay, real quick, I only have a question here. Where's the list, and did everybody sign it? Uh-huh. Blood search warrant. We're drawing blood. There'll be a practical test after we're done. Everybody's got to sign it. I know we have some questions. I wanted to touch on something that's come up in some of the other classes that I've taught, and that is this whole thing about oaths. Anybody here starting to hear stuff about oaths by fax and that kind of thing? Anybody? Okay. I'm going to talk about the case law in a minute. Let me talk about what I believe the rule is, and I think I'm on safe ground. Okay. And this is the situation, this is the context it comes up in. The officer calls and says, Judge, I want to get a blood search warrant. They fax the affidavit to the judge. And the judge has taken the oath over the phone. Now, under the civil rules, any civil practitioners in here at all? Okay. My civil friends tell me that the rule is if you want to take a deposition over the phone, there has to be somebody there to issue the oath and identify the person. And if you do that, you can take a, you can do the deposition and it's sworn and everything's great, correct? Okay. So certainly you're on safe grounds, I think, if the person takes the oath wherever they're at from somebody and faxes the document to the judge and it's already sworn to, I don't think it's a problem. Is there a problem with taking the oath over the phone? Well, there's some cases out right now. There's a case out, and this is a not published opinion. It's out of the Fifth Court of Appeals in Dallas. And that case is 05-09-00926-CR. Read it again. 05-09-00926-CR. In that case, the court says, yeah. I talk a little bit about staleness. Let me take that back. The site is 05-09-00607-CR. Once again, a do not publish opinion, but the court says here it's okay. Why? I think primarily because the judge in this case says, I recognize the officer's voice. But of course, it went to court. The magistrate had to testify. I mean, my advice is to stay away from these circumstances. And it's easy to do. Why is that? When you get a call from an officer, where are they usually calling from? Police stations. Who can give oaths? Other police officers in the context of their duties. So there's really no reason. Yes, sir.
That would imply that a search warrant wasn't necessarily required to be signed by a judge if somebody else takes the oath.
Well, no, the warrant's still got to be signed, but the question is whether the person making the affidavit has to give the oath in front of the judge. That's the issue. Well, yes. Okay. Only thing. Well, I think you're on safe ground if you get it. Well, look, we get probable cause affidavits all the time. The officer fills them out and they're sworn to in front of somebody else. I mean, the issue is who's taking the oath, and whether you can take it over the phone. I think you're on safe ground, and I believe that the case law will back me up on that, is that if the officer's at the police station and does the affidavit and swears to it in front of a notary or another officer who's allowed to take the oath under the government code and then faxes it to you and calls you up, I think you're on safe ground. If the officer's faxing you the document and says, Judge, I need you to take my oath over the phone. I don't think you're on safe ground there. I think it could go either way. One thing for sure is you're getting called to court to testify. And since the government code allows other officers to take oaths for sworn affidavits, why not just avoid a problem and have somebody else issue the oath? And a lot of police departments and jails have notaries in them. I don't know. It may not be true for everybody, but so that issue's come up. It's going to happen more as more people use fax machines. Anybody have a fax machine? Get stuff faxed? How do you guys deal with that there? I mean, are they signed ahead of time? And right. Safe ground. Okay. I think you're on safe ground there. There was a question here somebody had in the middle of anything. Question here is, wait a minute. They arrest him, they fill the paperwork out, then you're going to get the warrant, then you're going to take the blood? I don't know. I have a problem with the two, but that issue's not decided yet. I think we're headed there, though. We're going to get some clarity on it shortly. Now, whether it bothers us, there's a lot of things that bother me about what goes on. Our job as magistrates is to, obey and follow the law and apply the principles when we get a situation that's kind of outside the bounds, and I think that's the best we can do. That's what we all want to do. I'm not really sure where that issue's headed. Okay, a question there.
Do you think if there was a
Question is, if we had a video capability, and that may be coming too. Everybody's got a computer. I got a camera. I'm at the judge's house. Judge, can you turn your computer on? I mean, the statute specifically says do it before the judge. You know, does that mean they're before the judge if you're looking at them? I think that'd probably be okay. I mean, the thing about the principle behind the oath is the judge is supposed to identify the person who's subjecting himself to perjury, who's saying this stuff is true. I mean, we're trying to satisfy that requirement. I mean, the law's in black and white. It says what it says, but that's the principle behind it. Anything else? Anyone? Yes, sir. Right.
And they will usually say, Judge, I don't have anyone here to watch them. Can you come to the hospital and sign the affidavit? I have shied away from that, but Judge Garcia, he's made it his mission in life to hear DWIK.
Well, we're not supposed to be a rubber stamp. We're supposed to be neutral and detached. Is going to the police station get us outside those bounds? I don't think so. You could very likely go there and say, no, it's not enough, I don't like it, and not sign it. I think you're probably within your rights to say, look, I'm not going to come over there. You need to bring it here. But I think that's kind of a personal thing. I still don't have the answer to that problem. Question? Comment? Yeah.
What happens if the officer refuses to swear to it before you and you tell him, I'm not going to sign it unless he signed it, but it's not sworn to?
Well, me personally? Well, that's their problem. I mean, I'm a fan of you make your decisions and you live by them, and whatever somebody else does with that information is their problem. Somebody sends me a document over my fax, which I don't have to do because I live within a mile of the police station and the hospital, so it's once, oh, you know, it's hit my house at 2 in the morning and right off to where they're going. If somebody sent me a document like that was unsigned, go, look, you need to have somebody take this oath or come here and do it in front of me or I'm not going
to
do it. Are you asking me what happens if the cop judge shops and gets somebody to do it under those circumstances? Are you obliged to report it? Does the judicial rule say that? You may be required to do it. I don't know. All I know is I'm on safe ground with I make my decisions. I live with my rationale. I try and stay within the law. If somebody else wants to do things they're not supposed to do, that's their problem. If I find out about it and it rises to a level where I got to say something, I will. I think we may be out of time. If anybody has anything else, please see me afterwards. Thank you for your attention. Where's the list? Oh, if anybody's interested, the government code provision about oaths is in government code chapter 602.
Meanwhile, back to the ranch. How do you justify a PC on a search warrant for drugs? Blood draw because there is no concentration that shows you're intoxicated.
This is, well, you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, look, the person's lost their normal mental or physical faculties through the introduction of drugs, and these drugs are present, and that's why they don't have their normal faculties. So they're looking for the evidence. Now, once again, how much, you know, well, I'd be asking, well, why do you guys think this guy's DWI on drugs? Well, Judge, because he's got dilated pupils. We had a DRE done, like Judge Robertson was saying. We found drugs in the car. We found residue on his person. I mean, those are things that might lead you to say, yeah, otherwise, no.
You're talking about the difference between qualitative and quantitative.
Right. Exactly.
And who's to say how much is?
I don't know. I mean, that's why when we talk about, you know, 10 hours later, is the evidence still in the guy's system? I don't know. How intoxicated was he in the first place? I don't happen to agree with the court's rationale in some of these cases. They're basically saying at 6 hours the judge had a... They don't really say what the reason is. They're just saying it's not unreasonable. So are the drugs still in the system? Do I have to know that cocaine stays in your system for 24 hours or marijuana is for... I don't know. I'm not a toxicologist. Right.
The issue of are you a court of record, you're not a court of record, that came up. You have to be in...